Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking in the WRAL Live Center, police are investigating after a six-month-old baby and a man were shot in Fayetteville. We'll have the latest.
Israel's president appears to be bowing to pressure from the international community. Could a second humanitarian pause be in the works in the war with Hamas?
And crisis at the southern U.S. border. A record number of migrants crosses the southern border in one day. The measure enacted by Texas Governor Greg Abbott that drew quick criticism.
We begin this noon hour with sad news out of Fayetteville. A six-month-old child is at UNC Medical Center after being shot. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thank you for joining us. We've been following developments all morning long. Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with what we've learned about the investigation.
Yeah, this is what we know so far. Just a terrible story. A man arrived at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center around 9:40 last night. After responding, police responded to that hospital. And after responding, they then went to a home on Nicky Avenue. That is where they found that six-month-old baby who had been shot. The child was airlifted to UNC Medical Center. And this afternoon, we are working to learn the conditions of both the man and that baby. We have been following the story since last night. As soon as we get any more details, we'll bring them to you from the Live Center.
Now to a story we've been updating. Before it's reported at breaking news at noon yesterday, police are looking for the person responsible for a shooting on Western Boulevard that left two people hurt. That shooting left a car riddled with bullets near the Bojangles during the busy lunch hour. While the police had the road closed in both directions during that investigation, three restaurants were blocked off with crime scene tape. Audio from radio traffic indicates a young man may have been the target of that shooting.
Last seen fleeing behind the Bojangles, possibly a target of the shooter saying he was being shot at.
A man and a woman were hurt in that shooting. The woman was treated and released. The man was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
Our temperatures started off in the low to mid-20s this morning, and we are in for another cold start tomorrow. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how many layers you may need in the days ahead.
I've been watching people walking around here in Durham, definitely in their coats this morning, into the afternoon, too, as our temperatures will remain cool, a little bit below normal, but lots of sunshine and not as windy as it was yesterday. Let's take a look at what some of the temperatures were as folks were stepping outside this morning. We saw 19 in Roxborough. It was 28 in Durham and Raleigh, 21 in Southern Pines, 26 in Goldsboro, 27 in Rocky Mount. So it was a cold start with the wind chill. It felt even colder. We're looking at similar temperatures again tomorrow morning. 23 Roxboro, 25 Clarksville, 26 in Lewisburg, 27 in Wilson and in Goldsboro. We'll head down to the south, looking at 29 in Fayetteville, 22 Sanford, 27 in Rayford and in Goldsboro. So it's going to be another cold start, mostly mid to upper 20s. We had more low 20s this morning, so maybe a couple degrees warmer, but still pretty chilly. Our normal low is 34. So again, we're looking at around 27 in the triangle, 30 on Friday. After that, starting Saturday, our morning lows are above freezing, and that will be key as I'm tracking a system that could bring us some rain by the middle of next week. It does look like rain. We'll talk about what your travel impacts could be with that, though, coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Israeli President Isaac Herzog signaled readiness for a new deal for another humanitarian pause to allow more hostages to be freed. This comes as concerns grow over the ripple effects of the war that's leading to an effort to protect the Red Sea shipping route against threats from Iranian-backed militants based in Yemen. Here's NBC's Molly Hunter.
Overnight, as new Israeli airstrikes pounded the Gaza Strip, Israeli President Isaac Herzog signaled readiness for a new deal.
Israel is ready for another humanitarian pause.
Intense discussions aimed at securing another pause in fighting to allow for hostages to be released and more aid to get into Gaza are underway this morning. As the U.S. works to free more hostages, it also has new concerns this morning about the ripple effects from the war. America now leading an effort to protect the key Red Sea shipping route against threats from the Iranian-backed Houthi militias based in Yemen. The threat so high that shipping companies have already diverted some $35 billion in cargo. While nearly 130 hostages remain captive in Gaza, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad militant group releasing new video of two Israeli hostages, after Hamas also released video earlier this week of three elderly hostages talking under duress. The man on the right is 80-year-old Yoram Metzger. NBC's Richard Engel spoke with his son, Guy.
You don't have confidence in Prime Minister Netanyahu's efforts?
Do you think I should have confidence in President Netanyahu after what's happened in the 7th of October?
Israel has said Hamas is using the hostages and the civilians in Gaza as human shields. In Gaza, overnight strikes in the central city of Deir al-Bala. Civilians inside the enclave are paying an unbearable price. In southern Rafah, Mahmoud Zoghru was in the hospital injured by an Israeli strike when doctors brought him the bodies of his son and daughter, Aisha. Her grandmother, Suzanne, cradles her. She only lived 2 weeks, she says. Now one of nearly 20,000 people who have been killed in Gaza, according to the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry, a grim milestone on day 75.
And that was Molly Hunter reporting. Now, the National Transportation Safety Board would lead the investigation into the cause of a deadly crash in New Jersey. A Philadelphia News helicopter crashed in a wooded area, killing the pilot and photographer on board, both working for ABC 6 in Philadelphia. The crew was returning to Philadelphia from an assignment at the Jersey Shore when it went down around 8 o'clock last night. The New Jersey State Park police say a debris field was discovered shortly after midnight in a remote location. The pilot and the photographer who died have not been identified. Well, you may recall two Charlotte television station employees also died in a news helicopter crash last year. Meteorologist Jason Myers and pilot Chip Tayag died when the WBTV helicopter went down on November 22nd. Witnesses say Tayag was able to steer the helicopter away from traffic and nearby buildings as it was crashing. The cause is still under investigation.
A man is in custody after crashing into a Wake County deputy's patrol car while trying to get away from a traffic stop. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. The chase began yesterday afternoon around 2 on Pede Road in Raleigh. It stretched into Durham, where 59-year-old Philip Spence was arrested. Authorities say Spence had an active warrant for his arrest on felony gun charges. No one was hurt. Raleigh police are looking for leads over who killed a man on 440 as he headed home from work. We're learning more about Robert Williams. He was shot and killed Sunday. He was known as a talented handyman with a company called Rob's Remodeling. Detectives found his white van with two bullet holes on I-440. Police have said they are looking for the driver of an SUV, but have not given many details. A friend of Williams, who did not want to share her name, talked with WRL about her grief.
I still am a little in shock, just because he is just the kindest person. And for him to be taken away, you know, from something like this, it just seems like so much injustice.
Raleigh police interviewed the driver of the SUV, but detectives are still looking for more witnesses. Investigators are asking anyone who may have information to come forward.
Well, the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border showing no signs of slowing, with waves of migrants arriving daily. Some ports of entry have been shut down so officers can deal with the crowd. NBC's Guad Venegas reports from the crossing at Eagle Pass, Texas, where migrants are waiting to be processed.
We're located at the International Bridge here in Eagle Pass, where large crowds of migrants continue to wait in this field behind me. You can see the large numbers of migrants, many of them arriving overnight. Now, we've seen crowds like this all throughout the week. So many of the migrants that, of course, arrived Monday were processed. More arrived on Tuesday, and overnight we saw even more of them. There could be as many as 2,000 migrants in that area or even more. As the sun is rising, we've seen a lot of them stand up and walk over towards authorities where they are being loaded onto buses, and of course Customs and Border Protection working as fast as they can to process as many migrants as they can. And you can see many of them using those aluminum Mylar blankets to of course protect themselves from the cold temperatures here in Texas. And this is the scene here in Eagle Pass, but we know that large crowds have also arrived in other parts of Arizona and in different parts of the U.S.-Mexico border as this new surge continues. Back to you.
The parents of a two-year-old Florida girl are outraged after a Rosa Parks reenactment at a daycare. The parents say their daughter, who they believe is the only black child in the class, was made to play Rosa Parks in that reenactment. The play included their child being restrained by another student in a police uniform and fingerprinted. Within 30 minutes of seeing the photos, the parents pulled their daughter out of the school permanently. The daycare says the play was spontaneous and not part of authorized curriculum. They also said that the administration had no prior knowledge of it. We could learn more about Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking of young women and girls in January. That's when court documents containing the names of more than 150 people associated with Epstein are expected to be unsealed. The documents are part of the civil suit alleging Ghislaine Maxwell facilitated the sexual abuse of Virginia Giuffre. Maxwell is currently serving a 20-year prison sentence after she was convicted of sex trafficking and procuring girls for Epstein. He died by suicide in 2019 in jail while awaiting trial on federal sex trafficking charges.
Now to a story that's been warming our hearts all morning. A Dunn family getting used to having their baby boy home after he spent 17 months in the NICU at UNC Children's Chapel Hill. This is video of the Gaines family coming home for the first time. You can see neighbors, family, and friends lining the street to welcome home baby Philip. His mom says now that he's home, she and her husband are appreciating the little things like just being at home and not being in a hospital setting, and even more special, snuggling on the couch and taking a nap with him. And we asked her what it was like to hold baby Philip for the first time after he faced one medical crisis after another during his first couple months of his life.
And my husband and I held him and prayed over him and cried and listened to worship music for probably 3 hours that first time. And the next morning we had the chance to do skin to skin. They were able to wean just ever so slightly. And we each got a turn doing skin to skin with them. And I don't know. I like to think that there was some mom and dad magic in there because he really did very slowly but very steadily start improving from there.
Now she admits that first time holding him was both terrifying and exhilarating. She credits the medical staff at UNC Children's for fighting right along with them and always being hopeful. She says they're just looking forward to celebrating Philip's first Christmas at home.
What a wonderful gift. Mm-hmm. The busy holiday travel season is ramping up. Next at noon, how airports across the country are working to minimize flight delays and cancellations.
Also, if you still have gifts that need to be mailed, we've got the shipping deadlines you need to know about to make sure your packages arrive just in time for Christmas.
And the widespread reaction from a decision by the Colorado Supreme Court to remove former President Donald Trump from that state's primary presidential ballot.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Nationwide, today and tomorrow are expected to be the busiest days for air travel for the holidays. You're looking at a live picture of RDU International Airport right now, where officials there announced this morning that it expects to close out this year with stronger passenger traffic since 2019. NBC's Tom Costello explains how airports across the country are preparing to keep everything moving smoothly from city to city.
The good news this Wednesday morning, with 114 million people expected on the roads this holiday stretch and 2.5 million moving through TSA checkpoints each day. Much of the country is now clear of volatile travel weather for now, though the floodwaters remain.
Winter weather will be a challenge. It will certainly be a challenge in the next few weeks.
For Dulles, wind gusts as we're caring for a possible ground stop.
At the FAA Command Center in Virginia,
that Icelandic volcano is not expected to have any impact.
They watch everything from potential volcanic ash drifting out of Iceland to storms moving across the U.S.
A powerful low pressure system pulling into New England.
In 24/7 constant communication,
Kennedy, possible ground stop depth of 2300.
Air traffic control, airline reps, defense, and national weather experts all in one room.
Possibility of Newark ground stop and ground delay program due to winds.
This is the heart of the FAA's command and control for the nation's airspace. If an airport anywhere needs a ground delay or ground stop, they order it here.
Weather is always top of screen and top of mind.
If you put a thunderstorm in like northern New Jersey, it could have a ripple effect across the entire country.
All the way to SFO in San Francisco?
Yes, absolutely.
San
San Francisco Rivalry Advisory 39 is now active.
Managing that ripple effect is air traffic manager Jija Vingal's daily mandate.
So we do try to manage our high complex capacity areas to ensure that there's a smooth transition throughout the rest of this airspace.
Military operations for Miami Center have been canceled for this morning.
With nearly 50,000 flights both today and tomorrow, the FAA has opened military airspace and more high-altitude highways. But the agency is still short several thousand air traffic controllers, leading to mandatory overtime and an urgent search.
We know we need more air traffic controllers. We're working hard to hire from a variety of sources and keep them moving through the training pipeline.
And that was Tom Costello reporting. Now, airport security will soon look similar to self-checkout kiosks at the grocery store. The Transportation Security Administration has partnered with a company to create a self-checkout-style security line. It will allow pre-check passengers to efficiently scan themselves and their bags. The goal for the new technology is to keep travelers moving. The new technology will be tested in Las Vegas next month and then rolled out to airports nationwide. Processing times for passports are back to pre-pandemic levels. The U.S. State Department says travelers can get their applications processed within 6 to 8 weeks. If you want it within 2 to 3 weeks, it'll cost you an extra $60. During COVID, it took up to 18 weeks for routine processing and 12 for expedited applications.
An alert Uber driver is credited with stopping a scam that could have cost an elderly couple tens of thousands of dollars. The driver called police after he picked up a package from a home in Ithaca, New York. He told police the location where he was scheduled to drop off the package. After questioning the recipient, police learned the package contained $23,000 in cash. The elderly couple thought they were sending bail money for their nephew. After searching the suspect's motel, officers found an additional $11,000. Two people are charged with criminal possession of stolen property. An airline passenger is accused of stealing more than $23,000 in cash on board a plane. The 52-year-old Chinese national was on a flight from Vietnam to Singapore over the weekend when the thefts occurred. Officers say the man stole from backpacks and messenger bags from three separate passengers. If convicted of theft, he could face up to 3 years in jail.
Well, you'll soon see some long lines at the post office today if you haven't already. It's the last day you can use ground shipping to get packages to their destination just in time for Christmas. Well, today's also the deadline for FedEx one-day shipping. Friday is the last day for FedEx same-day shipping. United Postal Service processing and distribution centers all across the country expect more than 3 billion packages will be delivered by the end of the season. Kudos to the mail carriers and the delivery truck drivers this time of year.
Oh, I know. It's such a busy time and they do such a good job. All my packages have arrived safely. Yeah. So hope yours do as well. Elizabeth Gardner shows us the look at Fenton and we have some ice skaters out right now.
We do. Boy, it's a really nice temperature for ice skating. It's not too cold, but it feels festively chilly and it looks beautiful. There's some folks out there who look like it's not their first time. It's pretty impressive and fun to watch. Of course, I'm sure Fenton is a busy place right now. A lot of shopping centers, I'm sure, are with people out doing last minute shopping. 42 is our current temperature. That's about how warm our high was yesterday. Our dew point's 19. That just means that our air mass is very dry. We should climb into the low 50s for highs this afternoon. Let's take a look at temperatures and a wind chill. Our wind is not nearly as strong as it was yesterday. So there's just a little bit of a wind chill in a few places. Like it feels like 40 in Durham and Raleigh. It feels like 41 in South Hill. It feels like 37 in Rocky Mount. It feels like 39 in Goldsboro and 39 in Southern Pines. But those temperatures are really just a few degrees off of the actual high temperature. So not much of a wind chill to have to deal with, but it's cool out there right now. We'll see a high of 51 in Raleigh this afternoon, 51 in Durham, and 51 in Fayetteville. We take a look at our wind speeds. You can see, you know, really just for the next few hours, it'll be, you know, 4 to 6 miles per hour. After that, it goes almost calm overnight tonight. We are looking at a cold night tonight. So make sure if you're headed out to Woolies Winter Wonderland, you do bundle up. If you're there when the gates open at 3 o'clock, temperature should be pretty pleasant at 51. But later in the evening, by 7 o'clock, we're at 39. At 9 o'clock, 36 degrees. And we'll wake up tomorrow morning to temperatures in the upper 20s. So we're still looking at temperatures below normal, signified there in the blue color contours, mainly right along the east coast. But some warmth back to the west. This is where temperatures are above normal. And we're going to climb to a little bit above normal as we get into the weekend. We do still have some chilly mornings in our forecast. Our normal low is 34. We tend to see the coldest temperature of the day right around 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. 27 tomorrow morning for the low temperature, 30 on Friday. And then once we hit Saturday, Sunday, Monday, temperatures will likely be above freezing and pretty close to normal. 54 is our normal high. Same story, looking at temperatures really close to normal for afternoon highs Thursday through Sunday and even into Monday and Tuesday. Santa's arrival forecast is looking great. This is going to be Sunday night into early Monday. During the evening, close to midnight, temperatures will be in the low 40s. It'll be partly cloudy. A lot of folks will be headed out to Christmas Eve services. Right now, it looks dry and pleasant. Christmas Day, 58 degrees, but we will see skies clouding up. It should stay dry during the day, but Christmas night and Tuesday, we may end up seeing some rain. So we're going to walk you through the timeline for that and show you what the temperatures will look like as well coming up.
And Elizabeth was talking about last-minute shoppers. Ken, are you done?
No.
No?
Admittingly.
Still a little bit
shopping
vegan.
On Christmas Eve, though. Love shopping Christmas Eve.
Well, then, hey, this is for you, okay? And all of you who like to shop on the 24th, tech gifts are often some of the most popular, but also the most expensive. Coming up today at 5:30, Keely Arthur has the top tech gift that will not break the bank.
Excellent. And UNC researchers have uncovered never-before-detected PFAS in the Cape Fear River. Tonight at 6, WREL climate reporter Liz McLaughlin explains how a unique testing process is helping scientists find forever chemicals. And get this, 8 of the ones they found the EPA did not know even existed. Our news continues now at noon. Artificial intelligence appears to be the wave of the future. We'll take a look at who is embracing the technology and who feels threatened by it.
Plus, if your budget is tight, you can still give a heartfelt gift to those you love. You just have to know where to look. How thrift stores can be the key to great gifts on a budget. ChatGPT was barely a month old at the start of 2023, and we were just starting to talk about using it at work. Now it's become increasingly more common. Perhaps you've used it. CNBC correspondent Sharon Epperson breaks down how workers feel about the new technology.
Artificial intelligence tools are becoming more common in the workplace as employers try to increase productivity. The latest CNBC SurveyMonkey workforce poll found nearly 3 in 10 workers say they have used artificial intelligence tools at work. 72% of workers who have used AI at work say it's made them more productive, while 28% who've used it say it's made them less productive. Younger workers have more experience. Gen Z is the most likely to have used AI tools, with 37% saying they've used them at work, followed by 35% of millennials, a quarter of Gen X, and just 17% of baby boomers. Now, some workers are worried about job security. 4 out of 10 surveyed are concerned about AI's impact on their jobs, with workers of color, individual contributors, and lower-salaried employees most concerned. People who already use AI at work are nearly twice as likely to be concerned about its impact on their job than those that don't. Even as the use of AI tools in the workplace is increasing, employees are looking for human input as well. More than half of respondents said they want to see their company's leadership take a stance on social and political issues. For CNBC, I'm Sharon Epperson.
Well, the IRS will waive nearly $1 billion in late payment penalties. More than 4.5 million individual taxpayers who owe for the 2020 and 2021 tax years will be eligible. This is because the IRS stopped sending out many collection letters during the pandemic, which it hoped would reduce its backlog and help struggling taxpayers. People who are eligible will get a special notice next month.
A decision by the Colorado Supreme Court sends shockwaves across the country. Why GOP opponents are coming to the defense of former President Donald Trump.
Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, but it can also be emotional and stressful. Some tried and true ways you can maintain your sobriety while celebrating the season. And here's a look at your winning North Carolina education lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We begin this half hour with that stunning development in the 2024 presidential race. Colorado Supreme Court ruling former President Trump is not eligible to hold office again.
Yes, citing his efforts to overturn the 2020 election and ordering his removal from the state's primary ballot. NBC's Garrett Haig has reaction.
Former President Donald Trump campaigning in Iowa overnight, making no mention of a bombshell decision by the Colorado Supreme Court, ruling that he engaged in insurrection when he tried to overturn the 2020 presidential election. The decision also making him ineligible to hold office under the 14th Amendment and disqualifying him from Colorado's March 5th primary ballot. The court repeatedly citing Mr. Trump's own words on January 6th as evidence of insurrection when he urged supporters to march on the Capitol and fight certification of the 2020 election for Joe Biden.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
Mr. Trump's campaign calling the court's decision, quote, completely flawed and vowing to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. The political backlash to the ruling, instant, with the former president's allies rushing to his defense. House Speaker Mike Johnson calling it, quote, nothing but a thinly veiled partisan attack. Mr. Trump, already fundraising off the decision, is still the Republican frontrunner and still defending his most controversial rhetoric on the campaign trail. After his comments that immigrants are, quote, poisoning the blood of America, critics pointing out Adolf Hitler used similar wording in his writings. Trump doubling down last night.
And it's true. They're destroying the blood of our country. They don't like it when I said that. And I never read Mein Kampf. They said, oh, Hitler said that in a much different way.
His main rivals have mostly steered clear of responding to those comments. The Colorado ruling also putting Mr. Trump's Republican rivals in a difficult position. Ron DeSantis posting that the decision is an abuse of judicial power.
We don't need to have judges making these decisions. We need voters to have to make these decisions.
And that was Garrett Haig reporting. North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis is reacting to the decision made by Colorado Supreme Court to disqualify former President Trump from being a candidate on that state's primary ballot next year. In a post on X, Tillis said it's outrageous to see left-wing activists make a mockery of our political system by scheming with partisan state officials to remove presidential candidates from the ballot. He went on to say he will be introducing legislation to ensure any constitutional challenges go before the U.S. Supreme Court. The ruling is a first of its kind, citing the 14th Amendment. This all surrounds Trump's role in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The court put its decision on hold, though, until January 4th to allow for appeals. Trump's personal attorney said the ruling attacks the very heart of this nation's democracy.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Nash, Harnett, and Cumberland counties. We'll start in Nash. A nonprofit group in Rocky Mount met this morning to pack thousands of holiday meals. Right for Revival packed nearly 3,000 boxes of food for holiday meals today at Rocky Mount Mills. These holiday meals will be distributed to families in need across central and eastern North Carolina.
Well, the Harnett County Health Department is helping uninsured children get protection from the flu. The department's mobile unit will be at the Harnett Food Pantry tomorrow to give out free flu shots to uninsured children. You can stop by anytime between 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. The Harnett Food Pantry is located on West Old Road in Lillington. Well, Cape Fear Valley is looking for people who are interested in joining the medical field. A special hiring event for the CNA program is going on today until 2 o'clock in the Rehabilitation Auditorium. Books, uniforms, and testing fees are included in the program, and it offers paid on-the-job training. Applicants must have a high school diploma or GED, commit to a 20-hour weekly work schedule, and fulfill a one-year employment commitment.
From now through the end of the year, it will be busy for family gatherings and get-togethers with friends. The holidays can be a hard time to turn down a drink. Health experts say you can get through this season without alcohol. Mandy Gaither shares ways you can stay sober over the holidays.
This holiday season, the cocktails may flow, but that alcohol you can forego.
Maybe it is because for your health, maybe it's for your relationships, maybe you're just curious about what it's like to enjoy yourself without alcohol. But rooting yourself and your reason for wanting to do this is the most important step.
After focusing on your why, Dr. Trent Hall with Ohio State's Wexner Medical Center says to have a plan for parties and other gatherings where there might be alcohol. Hall says to consider going out with an accountability partner or sober friend who can offer support. He says bringing your own treats can also help.
That can be in the form of a so-called mocktail, special kind of beverage that's tasty but non-alcoholic for you to enjoy. It could be some sort of snack. Can really be just whatever it is that will you'll feel good about enjoying with others.
Finally, come up with an exit plan that includes how you'll leave a party if needed.
It's possible for you to get stuck somewhere where you're uncomfortable or where things are starting to feel out of control to you. And so, you know, would advise you to drive yourself to a holiday party or make sure also that your vehicle is parked where you'll be able to get out.
And that was Mandy Gaither reporting. For adults of legal drinking age who choose to drink, the CDC recommends limiting intake to 2 drinks a day for men or 1 drink a day for women. U.S. standard drink sizes include 5 ounces of wine or 12 ounces of beer.
Our teacher of the week is celebrating 2 decades of nurturing young people. How his experience as a student shapes his role as a teacher.
Plus, the impacts of when congressional and government staff work from home. Why telework may make up more and more federal work. Take WRAL with you on your holiday travels. Keep up with breaking news alerts and watch WRAL News Live right there on the WRAL app.
Our teacher of the week knows he's making a difference in some way every day. WRAL's Brian Schrader goes to Roxborough to meet a teacher who says his students are learning life lessons.
Home.
When Jay Carmichael graduated from NC State with a history degree, his mom encouraged him to become a teacher.
I'm like, I don't know if I should do it or not. And she just stayed on me for that, like she stayed on me for lots of things growing up. And I decided to try it out. And thank God I did, because I love it. Like, I have a passion for it. I fell in love with it right away. And then
Carmichael's been teaching for 23 years at Person High School. He says students are learning lessons in his history classes that will resonate through life.
It'll come out later on what they get. They may think they don't appreciate it. They may think they're not learning anything, and then they'll discover it later on. And so the effect and the impact you have a lot of times doesn't come out until later. And I know that when I'm doing it.
It is no secret that many districts are having trouble attracting and keeping good teachers. Carmichael hopes more bright, passionate people will take up the profession.
And I can think back to the teachers I had that were really good teachers and made a difference in my life. I didn't know they were making a difference when I had them. I know they made a difference now.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
In Roxborough, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Well, if you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and a Teacher of the Week in the search box.
More people are thrifting for used clothes and goods to give as holiday gifts. The top reason people are taking this route. Plus, home may be where the heart is, but to some in Congress, they say it's not the best place to conduct work. What some want to see happen if this trend of working from home continues. As workers across the country are returning to the office, some government agencies are not using their office spaces. Chad Pergram looks into the remote work of federal workers.
Some federal workers may be home for the holidays, and apparently the rest of the year, too. GOP Iowa Senator Joni Ernst has a naughty and nice list.
The naughty list is for these agencies that refuse to have their workers come back into work and support the American people.
Ernst gives the Social Security Administration and Department of Housing and Urban Development a lump of coal, using a scant 7% of their allocated office space. Ernst wants the federal government to unload expensive federal property if workers aren't in the office.
That way we're not expending billions of dollars every year on space that we are not using.
Republicans contend returning to the office is a problem for the Biden administration.
I think we're best served when people are back to work in the flesh.
Ironically, Congress passed a law advocating telework for some portions of the federal workforce.
You're asking the wrong question. The question should be, how well are you implementing the law we passed in 2010, which said, please set up support?
Telework was new to Congress when COVID hit.
Members of Congress were pretty resistant to the idea. It was unfortunately a little bit of a 1960s, 1970s Mad Men mentality of, if I don't see you working at your desk, you're not working.
But attitudes evolved. A recent Congressional Management Foundation survey found that 60% of Capitol Hill offices have a robust telework policy, and only a fifth of all offices have no telework regimen. However, there will always be work-from-home abuses. A Department of Veterans Affairs staffer recently bragged about conducting a conference call while at home enjoying a bubble bath.
Chad Pergram reporting. Now, consumers are choosing to shop secondhand for Christmas gifts. 17% of gifts given during this year's holidays will be something that is resold. Some are choosing to go to the secondhand route to save money and be environmentally friendly. More fashion brands are also offering resale items in order to keep up with consumers' wants. Woolies Winter Wonderland is really getting into the holiday spirit with a new night of fun this week. You can get tickets now through Saturday. The festivities take a break for Christmas Eve and Christmas, but the fun is back up and running through New Year's Day. Entertain your family or your out-of-town guests with the Bulls Express train, igloos in the infield, a sledding hill, and a whole lot more family fun. You can get tickets at DurhamBulls.com.
And right there at the DBAP, yeah. That's where you can see snow and then get your sledding on, because we're not going to get it anywhere else in the foreseeable future.
It even feels like Christmas today, too, because of how cold it is outside. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Garden, the WSB Weather Center, tracking it all.
Yeah, we're going to start to see our temperatures warming up just a little bit this afternoon and then a little bit more over the next few days. But Renee has good advice. If you want to get some sledding in, I would take advantage of that, because who knows? You know, I don't know, you know. We haven't had a whole lot of snow in the last couple of years. Goldsboro is looking pretty this afternoon. So is Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Everywhere you look, we've got this beautiful blue sky. Same story there in Fayetteville, right there at our newsroom. We take a look at the temperature and the wind chill together. Now, it's not nearly as big a difference as we saw yesterday and the day before, but there's a little bit of wind. And it's interesting to see how much just about 3 to 4 miles an hour makes such a big difference. It's 42 in Goldsboro, but it feels like 39. It feels like 37 in Rocky Mount. It's 43 in Clinton. It feels like 40 in Fayetteville. It feels like 39 in Southern Pine. So just a little bit of a breeze, and it's very light, can make, you know, much as 3 or 4 degrees difference in the way it feels outside. This high pressure system will take care of us for the next few days, bringing us a lot of sunshine. Because it's a little bit to our west, the clockwise flow is, of course, over us, not right now from the north. As it slides eastward, it'll start to draw in some slightly warmer air, and we're not talking about 60s and 70s. But our temperatures will climb at least back to normal. And then we're watching this next system out here beginning to move onshore here across the Pacific here in California. That system will be following very closely as it moves across the United States. It will move over a lot of observing stations, and we'll be able to collect a lot of data that goes into the computer models. We'll have a better idea of how this is going to behave as it gets here Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We're past the holiday, but a lot of people are traveling then. You know, if you were somewhere for Christmas, you're traveling home on Tuesday or Wednesday, it could be a little bit messy. We'll start here Sunday at 5 p.m. You can see our skies are partly cloudy. So Sunday for Christmas Eve will be partly cloudy, but we will cloud up for Christmas Day. Notice by 6 p.m. on Christmas Day, we're already potentially seeing some rain from, say, Charlotte westward. So that's getting awfully close to us. We'll likely see rain Tuesday morning. And some of this is going to be heavy at times. You can see the yellow and the orange colors there from Tuesday afternoon all the way through about the first part of the day Wednesday, even maybe into the afternoon in our eastern counties. But of course, we'll be tweaking that as we get more information in over the next few days. I'll have an update on how much rain we could see. It could be anywhere from 1 inch to 2 inches, possibly. That could change. And of course, the timeline of the arrival and the exit of that system could change as well. But for right now, we're looking at partly cloudy skies for Christmas Eve, 56 for the high temperature. Mostly cloudy on Christmas Day, 58 degrees. There could be a few sprinkles late in the day, and then rain arrives overnight, maybe after midnight. Today, 51 degrees. That's likely to be the coolest day of the next 7. Tomorrow's the first day of winter, 56 degrees, the longest night of the year. And of course, we take a look at Christmas. Right now, it looks like it'll be fairly dry, but keep checking back.
Elizabeth, thanks. An Iowa man is using holiday lights to honor his mother. We'll explain this massive project that was thousands of hours in the making coming up.
Also, here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A shooting in Fayetteville hospitalized a man and a baby last night. Authorities first responded when a man turned up at Cape Fear Valley Medical Center with a gunshot wound. The investigation led them to a home on Nicky Avenue where they found a six-month-old was also shot. We're asking police if they know anything about how these shootings could be connected.
A news helicopter from Philadelphia crashed in New Jersey, killing the pilot and photographer. The helicopter went down about 8 o'clock last night in a remote location while the crew was returning from an assignment on the Jersey shore. The National Transportation Safety Board is leading the investigation into what started the crash.
As people begin traveling to see their loved ones this holiday season, airports are planning for record-breaking traffic. RDU expects Sunday to be the busiest travel day with 54,000 people traveling through RDU. They also say this holiday season, Raleigh's airport will see more than 22% more travelers than last year.
You can find some great deals on gas this afternoon at your local Circle K. Participating locations will be selling gas at 30 cents off per gallon between this afternoon starting at 4 until 7 o'clock this evening. It's happening at Circle K's all across Central and Eastern North Carolina, as well as along the South Carolina coast. You can find a full list of participating stations on Circle K's website. Heads up for those of you who like to plan ahead. Wake County is accepting Christmas trees after the holidays once again. The recycling program turns donated trees into mulch to help keep the county's parks and trails looking good. You can drop off your undecorated tree between December 26th and January 28th. There are 8 locations across the county. You can find the one nearest you online. Last year, more than 4,800 trees were dropped off and turned into 83 tons of mulch.
An Iowa man says he spent about $25,000 decorating his house for Christmas. And it's not just for the love of the holiday. He has another special reason for going all out. What started as a memorial to Brian Rubner's mother is now a passion project. This is the display's third year featuring 50,000 more lights speckling the house.
When I was a kid, I'd put up all of her lights. And she passed away in 2020, so I thought, you know, kind of in her memory, I'd start putting up some lights.
Visitors can tune their FM radio to hear the music that's set to the light show, which also includes a special message from Brian about his mother.
Well, our pet of the day may be a senior, but her heart is forever young. Tinkerbell brings a delightful blend of calmness and curiosity to every moment. She has a snuggly nature that would warm even the coldest of days. Tink is an alpha lady boss, so she might do best in a home with a sibling who is submissive or as an only dog. She would also do best in a home without young children. If you'd like to adopt Tinkerbell, contact the Hope Animal Rescue. Well, federal agencies are bracing themselves for a record-setting air travel stretch between now and New Year's. Coming up today, starting at 4, how airlines say they've prepared, what travelers should know, and what the outlook for the road trippers ahead. Well, a lot of people will be traveling this holiday season.
Certainly, yeah. And if you leave today, though, the weather chilly, but at least you'll have dry weather, and it'll stay dry for much of the through the weekend.
Yeah, and Elizabeth said, "We're not having a white Christmas around here. You might have to go north or something."
Yeah, zero chance, especially when it gets up into the 50s, close to 60 toward the holiday. Well, NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Of course, you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app and, of course, WREL.com. Have a great day, everyone.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.